Okay, thank you. Good evening or good afternoon, if the case may be for you. This is Tuesday, August 16th, 2022. This is a meeting of the Pacifica National Board Elections Committee. This is Michael Logan, the chair. I will call the roll. Teresa Allen. Can you hear Boyd Cohen? Can you hear him by Violetta Diamond?
Here.
Thank you. Vanessa Dixon Briggs?
Here.
E.B. Halleck? I'm here. William Heerwagon?
Present.
Thank you. Popped up on my screen. Sorry. Avelia Jones? Lizzie Kimura?
Here.
Mike Lewis. Don't hear him. Sean McPherson.
I am here.
Thank you. This is Michael Novick. Myla Reason.
Myla Reason is present.
Thank you. Sean Rose.
I am here.
Thank you. Minerva Sanders.
Present.
And Carol Wolfley.
Present.
We do have a quorum. I distributed a draft agenda, and so the next item up on that agenda is the approval of the agenda.
I move to approve the agenda.
Okay, let me read it for the roll. It's approval of the draft agenda, setting the time certain for adjournment, approval of minutes, review of the Zoom working group and discussion of town proposals, and there is a motion. Setting additional meetings at a later hour. I think some people have had trouble getting on this call at 4 p.m. Pacific. And then adjournment. I heard a motion to accept the approve the draft agenda. Is there any objection? Okay, hearing none, we'll go ahead with that. I heard someone say they had to leave by 6, which is 1 hour from now on the East Coast. That seems a little too short, though. Any idea about adjournment time? Maybe 90 minutes?
That sounds
good.
Yeah.
That would be, it's 4:10 now, 5:10, about 5:40 Pacific. That would be 8:40 Eastern. Is that okay with everyone?
Yes.
Okay, without objection then. Approval of the minutes, I did circulate those a second time the other day. Is there a motion to approve them?
So moved.
Okay, is that Myla?
Yes.
Thank you. Any objection? Okay, hearing none, maybe we'll get done in an hour. Some of the meetings I've been at, we take so long for this boilerplate sort of stuff, we can't get to the meet. Okay, so the minutes of the last meeting are approved. We have then the review of the Zoom working group and discussion of the town and proposals. So we did conduct a second kind of public brainstorming session for the election committee working group on Sunday. That was from 4 till about 6 Pacific. 7 to 9 Eastern, you had a reasonable amount of participation from members of the public and a few members of the committee on the call. I did circulate to everyone on the Pacific National Board, actually.
Point of privilege.
Sure.
You're coming through pretty muddy. Is there any way that you can improve your audio at all for a little more clarity?
All right, let's try my headphones again. Last time it didn't seem to help much. Check with silence. I'll just try to speak louder and more slowly. We did have a Zoom working group, a public brainstorming session on Sunday. There were a few members of the committee involved, a good number of members of the public or members of Pacific of the various stations. I circulated the video of that and also a transcript of the what people said and the chat that was added to the Pacifica National Board and to some of the people who participated in the call. It was hard to keep the discussion focused on the timeline, frankly. A lot of people had larger concerns about the election process that kept coming up and problems with the previous elections, but we did get some opinions about the timeline. A number of people spoke up in favor of the idea of shifting it to 2023. There were some other ideas expressed in terms of trying to make sure that there were candidate carts on the air and candidate forums on the air prior to the distribution of the ballots. So some of that has been in the motion. I'll read the motion for the stream. Resolved that the Elections Committee recommends to the Pacifica National Board the adoption of the following timeline. And it's really, this is posted to KPFDX as part of the agenda for this meeting. And number one, that station and national management immediately begin drafting a budget for the coming fiscal year, scheduled to begin October 1st for approval by the National Finance Committee, the PNB, incorporating funding for the delayed delegate elections with cash flow projections showing the necessary funds for the hires, contracted ballot distribution, and counting at the indicated date. That the PNB direct and ensure that management develops and in an ongoing, systematic way, accurate, up-to-date, and deduped lists of station members in both listener and staff classes as defined in the bylaws prior to the hire of any election supervisors. Three, that the mandate of the National Election Supervisor when hired shall include minimizing the costs of running the election and particularly of the local election supervisors by seeking volunteer and pro bono personnel and service providers to the maximum extent possible. Four, that on-air candidate forums and candidate carts in rotation through all day parts shall be aired on all stations prior to the distribution of any ballots. Five, that the elections be held on the bylaws dates and timeline in 2023, beginning with the posting of the opening for a national election supervisor in January and a hire by no later than March 1st. This is a quote from the bylaws. In a delegate election year, the nominations period for seats being vacated shall open on June 1 and remain open for 30 days, closed to June 30th. The national and local election supervisors shall thereafter prepare written ballots for each radio station listing all of the candidates and setting forth all other information required by these bylaws. Ballots shall be mailed or otherwise made available to the members on August 15th or the following day of August 15th as a mail holiday. To be counted, a ballot must be received on or before September 30th, the election close date. So that's the quote from the bylaws. Note that point four above in the motion means that candidate carts and candidate forums must air the period between June 30th and August 15th and shall continue airing during the period from August 15th to September 30th. So that's the motion under consideration. I think I heard somebody join the call. Did somebody arrive late?
Dee Dee Howick.
Thank you, Dee Dee.
Point of order. Carol?
Yes, what's your point of order?
Well, I wondered if it would be helpful for us to go through these one at a time and to separate sure. out as separate motions.
Okay, that's always in order, to divide. I think it would certainly help the discussion to discuss them one point at a time, and then we could decide whether we needed to vote on them separately as well. Do we discuss each one separately and then decide if you need to separate them for the vote?
Well, I guess I was proposing to separate out, to separate them out.
Okay, is there any objection?
Vanessa objects.
Okay, go ahead.
No. That was it. I object to voting on them separately.
All right. Well, let me start by discussing each one individually and get as much discussion as we need for each item, and then we can come back to this question, because I don't want to spend a lot of, you know, especially if somebody has to leave in the hour. I'd like to try to get as many people present to vote as possible.
Michael, this is Minerva Sanders. And for me, I also oppose it because we've had this information out here, and you, I'm thinking if I read it correctly, you asked for input then, and I don't see the reason to take each one separately. I've seen this for several days, so I just think you're going to lose people that would maybe want to have a voice in this, okay?
Yeah, so
this is Lily Kimura, why don't we just see if anybody has any objections to any particular one and go from there.
Yeah.
We don't have to discuss each one.
Right. Okay.
Let's
just start with, thank you. So point one, that the management begin drafting a budget for the new fiscal year, including cash flow projections for the necessary funds for the various aspects of the election on the indicated dates. Any objection to that?
Carol for the stack.
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't have an objection. I appreciate this intent of this. I'm just wanting to know from the directors on this call, is this a realistic expectation given the current financial situation with three stations with, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars of deficit and barely able to, you know, some of them barely able to make payroll or barely able to pay the electricity? So I'm just wondering how you're looking at this from a financial reality.
Vanessa to the same. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. You're a director, right?
So in terms of the financial reality, there appear to be two. One is the, as you noted, the current financial reality, which makes it, at least to me and some others, quite clear that we can't do it now. We just can't. Not realistically, not with the types of, you know, precarious financial situations that you described. There's just no justification for, you know, when several stations, you know, can't pay rent, electricity, to engage in an election and to hope that we can do it for the magical figure of $40,000 when really we have not supported how that would be done. So that's one reality check in terms of can we do it now, and I'd say no. So that's why people have moved to projecting forward in terms of doing this next year. And I guess the answer to that is we don't know. We don't know what we don't know. We can, you know, work towards dealing with the current financial situation so that, you know, we're in a position to be able to hold the election, you know, in the next year, as, you know, Michael outlined in the motion, but we don't know. I think the best we can do is kind of say we can't do it now. Let's start planning to do it, you know, at a future date that we believe to be more reasonable. I think that's all we can say.
Yeah, thank you. I'll remind people that last month we did pass several motions regarding fundraising and cost-cutting, and those were forwarded to the PMB. I don't think the PMB has acted on them yet. There are some additional cost-cutting ideas, basically, in this one. And, you know, I think we can't draft the budget. I don't think here. That is a management task, and so that's what this calls for.
And
I think it will mean increasing the funding all around the network, clearly. I mean, we have to increase the funding all around the network, come what may. I think I heard someone wanted to speak.
This is Minerva to the back.
And Myla.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Okay, Minerva, Myla.
Okay. Now, first, we were asked to come up with a proposal to bring to the PMB, and that's what this is. Once this reaches the PMB, then I feel like it's up to the station to work with the PMB to begin to, we've given a target date that we want to see that this should take place. They'll be able to come back before that target date and identify if it's going to be a problem for them. All we're doing is giving them something to work with. It's what I see from this committee. Thank you.
Thank you. Myla?
Yeah. Well, really, somebody's making a lot of extra noise. I just want to mute.
Okay, yeah. Please, if you're not speaking, please mute. Thank you.
I'm still hearing quite a lot of, and it seems to happen every time I'm called on to speak. Thank you. At any rate, what I have to say is that earlier this year, this committee passed a couple of important. I'm hearing noise again. Please mute if you're not speaking. Thank you. Earlier this year, this committee passed a couple of important resolutions to be taken up by the PMB, which were ignored by the PMB. And let's face reality. There are people now, the majority controlling the PMB, is opposed to having elections because they want to hold on to power, and they believe that elections will shift
right,
the power.
Myla, please do not characterize people's motivations.
Michael, please don't interrupt me. I am making a statement. I just think that we need to get real here and face facts. Now the shift of power has happened on this committee. A certain person was driven off of the PMB. And so this committee is now trying to upend all of the recommendations that were made by by other members of this committee who had the majority, including me. So we've got a shift in power. And now people who are opposed to following the bylaws and conducting elections as mandated in our Pacifica National bylaws are now in control, and so they're going to set a new timeline and in violation of the bylaws. And that's all I have to say.
Okay, thank you. I don't see the relevance of that to the first point about getting a budget in place that will be able to cover the cost of the election. Point number two, that the PMB direct and ensure that management develops, maintains in an ongoing, systematic way, accurate, up-to-date, and deduped list of station members in both listener and staff classes as defined in the bylaws prior to the hire of any election supervisors. That's basically what we, I believe, already passed as a cost-cutting measure. Any discussion of that one?
Could you repeat that, Michael?
That the Pacifica National Board direct and ensure that management develops and maintains in an ongoing, systematic way, accurate, up-to-date, and deduped lists of station members in both listener and staff classes as defined in the bylaws prior to the hire of any election supervisors. And as I said, we already basically passed that idea in the cost-cutting discussion last month. This just incorporates it into the timeline in terms of various points in the timeline.
Carol, for the staff.
Go ahead, Carol.
Ian, I have a question about, I wondered if anybody knows how that's going.
I talked to the ED last month about it. She said she was working on it. I believe that the ED is currently out on a medical leave. It was announced at one of our meetings that she donated a kidney and is out shortly for recovery from that. But I assume as soon as she gets back, we can hear further on how that's going. We've emphasized over and over again, it's a requirement of California Corporations Code for a membership foundation like ours to maintain a current list of its members at its headquarters. And clearly, in terms of the staff lists, it's a mandate on management to know who their staff is. So I think this is consistent with that.
Carol, through the staff.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I really appreciated, Michael, that you sent out some numbers from membership. I noticed that the numbers from KPFA were around significantly lower, and then I checked in, and it was my understanding that they had sent out like 15,000 tax forms in December, so they may not all fall within a certain, but they fell within, you know, that tax year. So I think we have to be, I think that there were some preliminary numbers that you were working with, and then it's my understanding that those numbers were not accurate and that the KPFK numbers were lower than what was in there, and the KPFA numbers were higher, and I don't know about the other stations. So I really appreciate that we're continuing to try and get accurate numbers. And I know there's issues with software of who donates and what name they use and, you know, what their email is and everything. It's complex, but something that has to.
Yeah, so I think this speaks to that, and we'll try to, you know, the PND has to, as it says, ensure that management get it done and keep it on an ongoing basis accurate. Number three, that the mandate of the National Election Supervisor when hired shall include minimizing the cost of running the election, and particularly of the local election supervisors, by seeking volunteer and pro bono personnel and service providers for the maximum extent possible. I know this isn't technically part of the timeline. It's really a cost-cutting measure, but I think that, it, particularly in terms of the stations that are most challenged, the idea of minimizing the local election supervisor cost, which is borne by the station, you know, is advisable. Any discussion of that one?
Yeah, Carol for the stack. But if somebody else has something to say, that's fine, too.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I would like to use the word neutral, seeking neutral volunteer and pro bono personnel and service providers. We have had situations where people who are not neutral were working on lists and making, you know, doing the work of local election supervisors,
right.
And I think that's a dangerous precedent. So I would like to add the word neutral into neutral volunteer and pro bono personnel.
Okay, any objection to that? Maybe we say neutral and disinterested or something like that, or just, I don't know, neutral sort of implies, you know.
Well, neutral is the word in the bylaws regarding
okay.
Local.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, supervisors.
Sure. Everyone okay with adding the word neutral before volunteer in point three? Okay.
This
hearing
one
no objection.
Five. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Was that an objection? I couldn't quite hear.
No, I'm sorry, Michael. No, it wasn't. I was just saying this Minerva, that's fine.
Yeah. Okay. Good. All right. So I'll correct that in the final version. Number four, that on-air candidate forums and candidate carts in rotation through all day parts shall be aired in all stations prior to the distribution of any ballots. And that comes from last year's complaints, constant complaints and issues, I think, over and over again. And it's been repeated in several rounds, I think, of the elections, that even though the bylaws very clearly state that the candidates shall all be heard equally with the opportunity for listener following questions, that has not been honored. And I think it's essential that the timeline indicate that has to take place before the ballots go out.
Okay, Lily Kimura, I just have a
question
on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
sure.
You know, I kind of quite... you know, I am new to this committee, but I didn't understand what that meant. Does, in practice, how does that work, that there's a certain number of days prior to the election that all these candidates' statements or other things are going to be repeated, and all, and is it candidates from all the other stations and not will it be like KPFA playing stuff from WBAI or other stations?
Each station broadcasts its own candidate. It's for the benefit of the listeners. This is in terms of listener delegates, because it's the listener's right to try to question them and understand better where they stand and before they cast their vote. So, in terms of, it's spelled out later that basically we're talking about the period between June 30th, when the nominees are closed, and August 15th, when the ballots go out, the airing of candidate cards and the candidate forums has to begin. So when it did happen, which in the past it did, there would be, kind of a rotation established. The records are kept in traffic of the rotation and, equitable and equal number of opportunities for each candidate in each day part. So a certain number of times in each morning drive time, a certain number of times midday, a certain number of times in drive time, that's the idea, in evening, overnight, and so on, the weekends. And it's up to the management to try, with the guidance of the supervisors, to make sure that's equitable.
Okay, that sounds good. Sounds like, when I read it, it said shall be aired on all stations, and so it sounded to me as a novice that, we were going to have candidate statements for others, so I would just request that it may be more clarified. That was my only issue.
Okay, for each station shall be aired on their station or something like that, we can correct that so that it's clear.
Thank you.
Carol for the stack.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think this is an important issue about, how to help the listeners to understand what the different candidates are representing. There are some problems with the CART situation that need to be worked through. And because of that, I would like us to set aside some time as a committee to talk about that, and maybe separate this particular one out. And I'd like to explain why. It isn't that I don't want the listeners to be informed. It is, first of all, three of our stations are bleeding out financially. So we have to think very, very carefully about, do the listeners want to hear a lot of information about elections when they turn on the radio? Because it's my experience that the more you preempt and then the more you put in issues related to governance, the more likely you are to lose people. Now, I understand maybe, 20 people came to the meeting or 30 people, and those people may have an interest because they are, part of an election and they're running people and they want to get their word out and they want to contact people. But I'm talking about the potentially thousands and thousands of listeners who have their hand on the dial or the button and are going to switch when they hear some stuff. So that's one issue. Another issue is there has been, particularly in the forum, there has been defamation of staff. There is no prohibition within their campaign provisions against candidates presenting false or misleading information about staff or management at a station. So when you get into people making accusations and that goes on the air and it isn't stopped, that presents serious problems for the station and the network. And I know that was an issue that happened in the last election, and that is one of the reasons that the video, they were made videos where people would have an option of seeing them. So, you know, I understand that it's very important to get the information to people, and I'm wondering if there's some ways that it can be done carefully, gracefully, and in a well-produced way that that it ensures that there's no liability and no defamation. So because this part of this motion doesn't really address that, I would like to ask that we separate this one out and talk about it at a future meeting.
Minerva to the stack.
Okay, go ahead, Minerva, and then I'll call myself as an individual.
Okay. And I can understand the concerns that Carol is raising regarding this statement, but what I would like to see, and based on what I said earlier, we keep bringing up stations that may be having some issues with finances or whatever, and I think that we're not allowing these stations and their listeners to understand the process, and then they make a determination or ask Pacifica or ask if there's another group within the Pacifica committees, if it's governance or whomever, to put together something that would allow the listeners to hear the information to let the individuals running understand there can be no defamation of character, to let the people that are asking the questions when these forums are taking place be able to stop individuals that would go into this type of presentation out to the public. I think things can be put in place that would have some teeth that would keep people from doing whatever has been done in the past. I think when you don't give people guidelines on what you can and can't do, that's when things get out of hand, or when you turn around, don't allow the listeners to hear people that are running for a position on their board, you know, supporting the radio stations. I think that's where I heard a lot from other people who were running that their message was not even allowed to run on the air or was being chopped up or those things of that sort. So that's why if you let this go as it is, but there is another group within Pacifica, again, like I said, whether it's governors or whomever, that's put some teeth into it, or we volunteers, a group, to add, send something else forward to help them, help the stations, I think that would be important. But I just don't see us wanting to hold back stuff because we feel that stations who are going through other issues may not be able to handle this. We have to let people begin to step up for their stations and do the things that need to be done. And I'll be quiet. Thank you.
Thank you. Speaking as an individual, calling myself, I think that I understand Carol's concerns, and I think that this committee is in a position to try to review some of the regulations or procedures for the candidate cards. There's plenty of time to do that before they're ever aired. I don't think we should remove this for a separate discussion. I think we're trying to get the timeline together, and I think it is critical to the timeline that, you know, interesting, properly vetted, and live candidate forms be aired prior to the ballots going out so the listeners can exercise their right to call in and question the candidates. So I don't think we should remove it from this list of items on the timeline. I do agree that we should have a further discussion later about some of the questions that Carol raised, and I think there are other complaints also, as you mentioned, how much time people were asked to record a one-minute card, and then the cards were cut for 30 seconds, and a lot of other issues that have come up. But, and I think after we complete this task that we were given by the PNB to come up with a timeline proposal that we should go back to, you know, some of the previous NES reports, look them over, and see what lessons we can extract and try to apply. In addition to just the timeline, I think there are a lot of these other questions, as Carol said, how to make an interesting radio, how to, you know, make sure that it's publicized and so on. But I don't think we should remove it from the timeline at this point. I think it should go into the timeline, and then we'll have time later to spill out some of those other questions. But, you know, if Carol wants to make a motion to divide, we can consider that.
I do want to make a motion to divide, and I just want to say that I think there's just, I would like to see some data. I mean, I think one of the things that happens with Pacifica is that a lot of us come in, and we come in and we have political goals. We have things that we want to see happen. We have ways that we want to see things done. And I think one of the things we have to do is consider the listener's interest. And I would like to see some data looking at, you know, when the cards were played in past elections and what happened. You know, they can watch. You can play something, and they can watch how many people are dropping off the air. So I would like to watch and see, you know, are we losing listeners during those times before we say we're going to put something all day on the air, you know, through the whole day. And it may be in a time when there's other very timely and important announcements that need to be going out. We have a lot of other events that we do at KPFA. We have a lot of outreach. We have a lot of community service. So you're taking those minutes away, those little minutes at the end of the hour, and you're putting in a lot of other things. And I think I would like to see some research about what happens to the listenership during that time. Does it drop? Does it gain? You know, and for those stations that are not doing so well, I would love to see people get more involved, but I'm not sure this is the way to do it. I'm not sure that they're interested in hearing people who are very aggressively criticizing the station on the air, and presenting very aggressive negative information about our stations on the air. I don't think that's helpful. So,
Mac on the stack.
Myla for the stack.
Yeah. Okay, hang on a second. Will you finish, Carol?
Yeah, I am. Thank you.
Okay. All right, I'll take that as motivation for a motion to divide this issue. And then I heard a male voice. Who is that? And then Myla?
That was me, Mac. I just want to reiterate much of what... Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
I just want to reiterate much of what Myla just said.
Oh, that was Captain.
Let me finish. This is about radio. I don't hear anything on these meetings about radio. We're trying to promote all of the goals and missions and messages of Pacifica via a radio station or radio stations. And if people aren't listening, then they ain't going to hear anything anybody's got to say. That's all I have.
Yeah, thank you. I was just saying that was Carol who was speaking before you, not Myla. Myla's next, and then I'll call on myself, and then we'll vote on the question of whether to divide.
Yes, thank you. I just support Carol's motion to divide. I think that, you know, we're talking about, you, Michael, conceded that we do have quite a lot of time, and I don't think that we should rush this before we really look at the serious concerns that are raised by Carol. And I agree with Mac, you know, let's think long and hard about driving listeners away before we pass this. That's all.
I thank you. Calling myself as an individual, I oppose the motion to divide. I think that there is ample experience with times when we've had these and times we haven't. I think there is a less informed electorate when we don't have it. I think that the question of the quality and the content is a separate question from the necessity to have such an air, exactly because, as Max said, we're radio stations. The primary way we communicate with the listeners is over the radio. The quality of what we broadcast and the quality of the candidate forum discussions and how they're moderated is a topic for a separate time. Where I said there's time after this motion goes to PMB to discuss how to improve the quality of the carts and the quality of the candidate forums. But the bylaws very clearly state that all the candidates have the right to an access to the airwaves to present their case, and that the listeners to be able to call in and question them. So those are candidate forums.
Point of information, this is Myla.
Yeah.
Where in the bylaws does it say that the candidates have access to the airwaves? I believe that the bylaws say that they have equal access to the listeners, but it isn't necessarily by way of the radio station airwaves. So please tell us where in the bylaws you're getting this.
I will have to look it up for you, but I will find it in a second.
I'm looking under Carol, a point of order.
Yeah, what is your point of order?
I think it's Article 4, Section 3. I'm looking at all the...
No.
Oh, it's not that. Sorry.
It's probably on the Fair Campaign Act, let me speak.
I looked for it. I never found anything like that.
It may be under Fair Campaign.
Okay. In Article 4, Section 6, Fair Campaign Provisions. No foundation or radio station management staff shall be permit the use of radio station airtime to endorse campaigns. All candidates election. Excuse me. You asked, I'm giving the citation, Article 4, Section 6.
It's hard to understand. Please speak clearly.
Okay, I'll speak more clearly. Article 4, Section 6, Fair Campaign Provisions. The second sentence reads, all candidates for election as a listener-sponsored delegate shall be given equal opportunity for equal air time, which air time shall include time for a statement by the candidate and a question and answer period with call-in listeners. It's very, very clearly stated in the bylaws, and I just read it to you.
Thank you.
Carol,
I'm sorry. I would like to move to a vote on the question of whether to divide or not, which you already spoke on, Carol. So I'm going to call the roll on Carol's motion to divide to separate out Point 4, that on-air candidate forums and candidate carts and rotation through all day parts shall be aired on each station prior to the distribution of the ballots. If we separate it, we'll still vote on it, but we'll vote on it separately. Teresa Allen, are you here? Don't hear her. Bert Cohn? Don't hear him. Violetta Diamond?
No.
Thank you. Vanessa Dixon Briggs?
No.
Dee Dee Halleck? Dee Dee, I don't hear you. I'll come back to her. William Heerwagon?
No.
Avelia Jones, I don't believe it's present. Lily Kimura?
Yes.
Thank you. Mike Lewis? Don't hear him. Sean McPherson?
Yes.
Thank you. Michael Ehrlich votes no. Myra Leeson?
Yes.
Sean Rhodes?
No.
Minerva Sanders?
No.
Carol Wolfley?
Yes.
Okay, going back to Dee Dee Halleck. This is on a motion to divide item 4 out and vote on it separately. I don't hear her. Let's say there's no vote. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 no votes and 1, 2, 3 yes. The motion is divided, defeated. The last point, number 5, that the elections be held.
Point of order, maybe.
yes,
the count was really four yes and 6 no. You missed somebody. You said 3, I think.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, that's correct. I had 2 initials. Swansea of it. I stand corrected. It's still, thank you. Thank you for the correction. Still defeated. Number 5, that the elections be held on the bylaws dates and timeline in 2023. In other words, 1 year after they're anticipated 2022, beginning with the posting of the opening for a national election supervisor in January and a hire by no later than March 1st. And then the rest of it is just a copy from the bylaws, what those dates are. So basically, opening nominations by June 1st, closing nominations by June 30th. We have time, as we said, for the candidate cards and forums, mailing of ballots by August 15th or the next day if it's a mail holiday, 45 days through September 50th for the voting, election close date 30th. Then proceed. There's obviously provision of the bylaws for quorum extension and so on. That's not changed.
John Rhodes.
I'm sorry?
John Rhodes with an amendment.
Okay, go ahead, Sean.
Okay. That's not worded in the best way to communicate what the idea is you're trying to get across. So I sent an amendment. To clarify what you're trying to achieve there. So I just sent it to everyone. Check your email. I will read it aloud for the stream. It says, 5, that the elections be held in 2023 according to the dates and the timeline specified in the bylaws, semicolon, beginning with the posting of the opening for a national election supervisor in January and a hire no later than March 1st, period.
Okay, thank you. Basically a clarification that in the bylaws it would have been in the 2022, and we're saying we're moving to 2023, but following the calendar dates.
Correct.
Any objection to that amendment?
Myla, for the staff.
Yeah, go ahead, Myla.
Yeah, I mean, it does clarify this position, which is contrary, which is generally in conflict with the mandated 2022 elections, which were already sent to the PNB. I mean, this committee already said we wanted elections in 2022. So we're actually overriding the resolution that was passed, and it's a kind of a backdoor way of overriding a previous resolution with a mere majority vote, when overriding a previous resolution should actually be noticed and be called for, you know, at least 2/3 of the committee voting to override. And again, I will state that we are in violation. It's very problematic to hold the election in 2023 because so many people are terming out? What's going to happen? Are we going to just have smaller local station boards? And when are we going to be electing people to the PND when we don't have delegates in place by the end of 2022? We're just further digging ourselves into an egregious violation of the Pacifica National, the Pacifica Foundation bylaws against, and we're just flirting with disaster in terms of violating the California Corporations Code and the FCC guidelines and the CPB, and it's just a huge mistake in my mind. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I don't take that, however, as an objection to Sean's amendment.
I do. Yeah. This whole section.
Okay. All right. If that's the case, we can vote on the amendment. But I just want to point out in relation to what you said that the committee did vote last month regarding the question of the vacancies and sent the motion. That motion was sent to PND. So that motion anticipated not being able to hold the election according to the 2022 timely to complete it by December. Everybody, I think, has acknowledged that that's an impossibility at this point.
Yeah, right. So, not everybody does.
Okay, but
Carol, Jack, go ahead.
Yeah, okay, focusing on Sean's amendment. Go ahead, Carol.
Yeah, well, one of my concerns about the amendment and number five as written is that, you know, I really appreciated that people and Vanessa talked about that, you know, how the finances right now and how it is. And my concern is that I know we are all hoping that things will be better in 2023, but it seems to me that the bylaws mandate that if they aren't, so we are in such a weird situation because if an election can't be held in 2023, if there isn't money to hire an election supervisor in March of 2023, then we should be, we're already getting late to propose a legal postponement. So we are kind of floating along in no man's land of no man's land right now without knowing if there's any money and how that relates to Pacifica democracy. And I guess one of my deepest concerns, I mean, people are talking about wanting to be on the air and carts and everything, but one of my deepest concerns is this state of failing democracy at this point has not been communicated to the listeners in a clear and open way, and you know I think it's very crucial not just to say, oh, we're going to have another election, you know, and we may not, there may not be money for an election in March. And I understand Milo's concerns because the whole cradle of democracy rests on fair and timely elections. And I deeply respect that. So I am going to, I'm going to vote in support of Sean's motion because I think it amendment. I'm going to oppose the. No, actually, I have to oppose the whole thing. It doesn't make sense to me. Thanks.
Thank you. So I will say that I'm going to call myself. Earlier parts of the motion specified exactly for that reason that the management has to come up with a budget for the new fiscal year before it begins October 1st that incorporates in it cash flow projections to hold the various aspects of the election on the appropriate dates. And so if that's not forthcoming, that gives us time because the bylaws say by November, to come up with some other solutions. But I think that the rest of what we've put forward are fundraising methods, cost-cutting methods, and additional cost-cutting in this motion to try to make it possible to hold the elections in as timely a fashion as possible given the existing constraints. So, you know, I hear your objections, but, you know, I don't see what the alternative is. I think I heard someone else trying to speak.
Yeah, Vanessa to the stack, please.
Vanessa, was there a male voice also? No. Okay, go ahead, Vanessa.
Okay, so there's been, to me, no emphasis or outcry on the quote-unquote failure of democracy, because there has been none. Definitely is a difference of opinion as to whether that's occurring, and it is not. We've taken that action in the past for financial reasons to have to extend the elections, and each station found different ways to make that work. No entity, no organization, no corporation, no group has an obligation to hold an election to its detriment, to its death. That's just, I want to say, unsound. It's stupid. It's ridiculous. It makes no sense whatsoever. Hold the election, do or die, no matter what. No, I mean, without any supporting evidence that it can be done for the reduced cost of $40,000 has been suggested when it costs much more than that. We're trying to find a way to make this work in a way that does not kill the network, that, you know, does the least amount of harm. No organization has any obligation to hold an election at the cost of killing itself. So all of this talk about the failure of democracy is just hyperbole as an excuse to try to force an election to occur that has no place occurring in this financial climate.
Carol for the stack.
Okay, Carol, and then I would like to move to a vote, if possible.
Well, the problem that I have, and the reason why I believe there is a problem with democracy, is that there is a provision in the bylaws. And if we say we go by the bylaws, then, you know, then there is a provision in the bylaws for when there are financial problems that the election will be postponed. But there's a timeline by that, and we have not taken action. Pacifica has not taken action within the context of that timeline. So by failing to take action within the context of that timeline and then moving on and saying, well, we're going to hold an election, we hope, if we have enough money, and then not necessarily taking the actions necessary to ensure that there is that money, then I do believe we are in uncharted territory, because other organizations, I mean, that is what happens in organizations. And of course, you know, if an organization doesn't have money to hold an election, they're going to have to figure out what to do. But there's all kinds of things that happen when organizations can't hold elections, but not hold, I mean, if the United States government said, you know, we don't have money to have an election right now because we have deficit spending, I think people would be pretty upset. So, but think that I know, I also want to recognize that I know people are doing the best they can and trying to figure out what to do with a very, very serious and difficult situation right now.
Okay, thank you. So I would like to call a vote on Sean's amendment, which is to change the language of 0.5 slightly so that it makes it clear that we're, moving the election to 2023 at this point and using the dates and the bylaws. Teresa Allen? Want to hear Bert Cohn? Violetta Diamond?
Yes.
Vanessa Dixon Briggs?
Yes.
Dee Dee Halleck? Dee Dee Halleck, I don't hear her, and I can't see the, unfortunately, the switchboard, the dashboard for, I'll come back to her. William Heerwagon?
Yes.
Billy Jones? Oh, here, Lily Kimura?
No.
Mike Lewis? I don't hear him. Sean McPherson?
No.
This is Michael Novick, I vote yes. Myla Reeson?
No.
Sean Rhodes? That's
yes.
On your own work. Minerva Sanders?
Yes.
Carol Wolfley?
No.
Okay, I have 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, I'm going to go back to Dee Dee Halleck. Dee Dee, are you there? Are you voting? I guess we lost her. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 yes, and 1, 2, 3, 4 no. So that amendment is adopted. Going to the motion at poll. I take it people do want to vote on the whole motion, so I'll go through the roll again. I think we've had a fair amount of discussion of the whole thing. Teresa, I don't hear. Bert, phone, I don't hear. On the entire motion, 1 through 5, Violetta?
Yes.
Vanessa?
Yeah.
Dee Dee Halleck is on the whole motion. Are you there? Don't hear her. William Heerwagon?
Yes.
Avelia? Don't hear her. Lily?
No.
Mike? Lewis? Still don't hear him. Sean?
No.
I'm voting yes. Myla Reeson?
No.
Sean Rhodes?
Yes.
Minerva Sanders?
Yes.
And Carol Wolfley?
No.
Okay, the vote on the motion as a whole again is 6 yes and 4 no. So the motion carries. I do want to raise, briefly before we adjourn, we have a question of additional meetings at a later hour. I think that Dee Dee's had trouble getting on. Avelia, I know, has trouble getting on at the early hour because of some... I'm wondering if we can meet at 5:30 Pacific, 8:30
Eastern. Smack on the stack.
Yeah, Myla to the stack.
Okay, if I can just finish. That is the time that almost every, as far as I know, every other PNB committee meets at 5:30 in the PNB itself, 8:30 Eastern. I heard Mac and then Myla.
If you move it back, you're going to conflict inevitably with the PNB Finance Committee. That meeting has historically, and as long as I've known, been held at, well, 7:30 Central, which makes it 8:30 Eastern. When you move this meeting back, you will inevitably conflict with that. I myself am a member of both committees.
Which is the other committee you mentioned?
The Finance Committee, the PNB Finance Committee, meets at 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central, whatever time that is, way over there on the left coast.
Yeah. But is that every single week? Because I see the Finance Committee is meeting on the 9th, it's meeting on the 23rd.
No, but these meetings are consistently the election, since I've been here, the elections committee meetings are consistently held on this, more often than not on the same evening as the elections committee. As the finance committee. I'm sorry.
Okay, Myla?
Yeah, I was just wondering, you said that Avelia had trouble today specifically because she had doctor's appointments for her husband, but I don't think that she said anything to me, and we speak quite often, that she had a problem with the time of this particular meeting, generally speaking. So I don't know why you said that. Did she communicate that to you, Michael?
She sent me an email that she could not get on this meeting at 4:00 today.
Today, right, because she had, she was with her husband at the hospital today, but that isn't to be expected going forward.
Okay. Any further discussion?
Only that I wish all my meetings could be held at reasonable hours.
Carol, for the stack, it would be very challenging for me. I would be coming late to the meeting, but I would, try to come.
You're saying you'd be coming late to the meeting or later?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I would come early. I would have to leave early. I'm sorry.
Michael, can you tell us again exactly what you're suggesting that we change the time we change to?
Well, it would be the same, as I said, as all the other PNB committees. Basically meet at 5:30 Pacific, 8:30 Eastern, as the PNB itself. But, I hear objections. Leave it for another meeting, maybe, and then we have a fuller membership and discuss it again.
Okay. Sounds good.
This Minerva to the stat.
Go ahead, Minerva.
Okay, Michael, what I'd like to suggest is that you just send out an email to the individuals that make up the committee to see if there is a problem with them meeting at this time. That way you can have something in writing from individuals as to whether or not this time that's been identified, the date, is a problem. Okay?
Okay. Sure, sounds good. So that was the only other business we had, I think. Let me go back to the agenda. So we're adjournment, unless anybody has something else they want to bring up.
Myla, for the stack.
Go ahead.
I move to adjourn.
Okay, thank you. Any objection? Okay, hearing none, the meeting is adjourned. I'll try to get the minutes together, and maybe next time we can talk further about the secretary. Anybody wants to volunteer?
Good night, everyone.
Have a good evening. Take care. Thank you all.
Thank you all. Good night.
Bye-bye.